This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The NRA, which spent tens of millions of dollars to help elect Donald Trump, has recently posted to its Facebook page a terrifying video aimed at progressives. Conservative talk radio host Dana Loesch is the video's narrator, and she begins by saying they use their media to assassinate real news. She goes on to say that teachers are teaching children to think of Donald Trump as Hitler, and implying that President Barack Obama is backing the resistance to Trump and inciting people to, quote, smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, and, quote, bully and terrorize the law-abiding. Loesch concludes that, quote, the only option is for the police to do their jobs and stop the madness. The video ends by claiming that the NRA is, quote, freedom's safest place. But my guest, George Zornick, the nation's Washington editor, has a cover story in the latest edition of the magazine, and in it, he writes that NRA head Wayne LaPierre understands the gun rights movement as a culture war first, and a battle over gun laws second. Welcome to the program, George Zornick.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, I suppose it seems obvious when we think about it that the NRA is not just in the business of getting as many gun sales as possible, but why is it favorable for this organization to enter the culture wars? And obviously it's not a new thing. This has been a long time building. How does feeding right-wing paranoia result in more gun sales? Haven't we sort of saturated the market for gun sales in that constituency already?
You know, it's interesting because the way that the trends are working, less and less guns are being sold, but more and more of them are being concentrated in the hands of fewer people. So in other words, there are people who are stockpiling weapons. And so for these folks, I mean, I think you can keep selling them guns, and in a way that you do it is stoking up fear that, the kind of fear that we hear from Donald Trump all the time, that there are, you know, illegal immigrants pouring over the border and they're going to come victimize you or your family, and that American cities are overrun by crime, and, you know, really the best defense against all this is being armed.
And of course, in hindsight, it appears natural that Trump would be the NRA's favored person, that they have this, you know, huge ally in the White House. But when he first came on the scene, he didn't have much of a record on supporting the rights of gun owners and backing gun proliferation one way or another, did he?
No, not at all. And it was interesting because, you know, I've covered this topic for a long time. And during the Republican primaries early last year, I would interview in swing states and places like New Hampshire, where there is a very strong gun culture, activists who, you know, are not of the NRA. They're not sort of this right-wing paranoid model of Wayne LaPierre. And they were naturally very skeptical of Donald Trump because here's this guy coming from Manhattan who basically had no record on guns whatsoever. The only thing he had was around 2000, 2001, when he was thinking of getting involved in New York City politics, he supported an assault weapons ban, or he said he did, because of course New York City politics are different.
Which is exactly opposite of what the NRA wants.
Oh, absolutely. And so these types didn't trust him. And why would you? If you want a champion of gun rights in the White House, Trump at first blush wouldn't seem like the right guy. But Wayne LaPierre, who's been waging this culture war for years, immediately recognized that Trump was his guy. Trump was the earliest endorsement, presidential endorsement in NRA history. You know, again, when Trump's talking about these marauding illegal immigrants and midnight in America where crime is running wild, I mean, that is catnip for the NRA and its hardcore supporters. So LaPierre had the NRA endorse Trump immediately. There's usually, although Republican politicians are certainly very friendly to the NRA, it's important to remember that Trump is really the first one to embrace it full on in some time. When he spoke at the conference in Atlanta, he was the first president to appear there since Reagan in 83. And the NRA was really quite a different organization in 1983. George Bush, though, again, he certainly did push for a relaxation of gun laws, although that wasn't true after Virginia Tech, but he never went to the NRA conference. And there was always this endorsement, you know, dance where someone would come out of the Republican primary and the NRA wouldn't endorse right away. They certainly did not endorse Mitt Romney right away. And they sort of extracted some policy concessions from Romney. But Trump, I mean, they were all in it from the start. Hmm.
So it seems as though this has been a marriage of convenience for both Trump and the NRA. Trump, in his willingness to fuel right-wing paranoia, and the NRA seeing that, joining him, Trump, realized that the NRA would deliver for him this sector of American society. He promised, as you point out in your article, that the last 8 years of what people have experienced under Obama, he said, the news that you've been waiting for a long time, the 8-year assault on your Second Amendment freedoms has come to a crashing end. What 8-year assault? What sort of assault did we see on guns during Obama's presidency? No matter how much he wanted to, was there even the slightest bit of progress on gun control in the last 8 years during Obama?
There was a very slight amount. You know, after Newtown, Obama did issue some executive orders. After the big Manchin Toomey legislation to expand background checks failed in the Senate. But these were, they were welcome, I think, by gun control activists, but they were really pretty small potatoes. It was throwing a little more money to the federal background check system and diverting some federal research into gun violence as a health issue. But these were not, earth-shattering changes. Trump, of course, has or will reverse all of those things. But it's interesting, for much of his presidency, Obama was not only not a gun control crusader, but he avoided the issue like the plague. I mean, Hillary Clinton was the first candidate in a long time, maybe ever, to full-scale embrace a gun control agenda. She did it in the primary when she was running against Bernie Sanders. It was a good contrast against him. Certainly against Trump, you remember at the convention, I mean, she had mothers whose sons were killed by gun violence on stage. She had Gabby Giffords there. You know, Obama didn't do that. In 2012, he literally during that campaign never mentioned gun control.
And how was that met? How was Clinton's overt embrace of that issue met by Americans?
You know, it's an interesting question. In the article, I cite some analysis that shows that looking at the sort of voter files from this most recent election, even controlling for people's political views and their views on race and the economy, if you look at the voters who switched from Obama 2012, when again, he wasn't running on gun control at all, to Trump 2016, support for gun control was actually a statistically significant predictor of that change in support. Not that it was the only reason, but there were people, and you can imagine, in places like Michigan and Wisconsin and Ohio and Iowa, where Obama did well and Clinton did not. Part of that, I think, was had to do with gun control. And that certainly doesn't mean that Democrats should stop pushing on it, but I think it's at least important to acknowledge that fact and think about ways to, talk about it more effectively as a public safety issue. But, that's all kind of wrapped up in the issue of race. And this is in the article.
Yes.
There's a lot of social science research that shows that the more likely you are to see Black Americans as violent, the more likely you are to own a gun. And that certainly doesn't mean that all gun owners are racist, but there is a correlation there. So we know that
Black gun owners like Philando Castile are not seen as equal to white gun owners.
Right. Absolutely not. Of course, the NRA silence on that has been deafening. But this all sort of came to a head in the 2016 election, where you had Trump, running this openly racist campaign, Clinton having a very strong message on not only anti-racism, but gun control. So you can see how this issue just was enormous, and I think kind of undercovered during the election. And it's the first time we've seen that again in years. I mean, Democratic presidential candidates have just not touched gun control in many, many, many cycles.
Let's talk about the video that Facebook, the NRA's Facebook posted. This isn't a new video, I understand, but it was the first time that the NRA put it right on their Facebook page, so it's getting more attention now. I actually just want to play it, featuring the NRA, I guess, spokesperson, you could call her. She's a conservative talk radio host named Dana Loesch. And I apologize to our audience for playing this and giving it more airtime, but I think it is important for us to sort of both see and hear how this culture war is being waged by the NRA. Here's the video.
They use their media to assassinate real news, They use their schools to teach children that their president is another Hitler. They use their movie stars and singers and comedy shows and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again. And then they use their ex-president to endorse the resistance, all to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, to smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding, until the only option left is for the police to do their jobs and stop the madness. And when that happens, they'll use it as an excuse for their outrage. The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
And that's Dana Loesch claiming that the NRA is freedom's safest place. George, she is shocked that people are so upset about this video, saying that she was condemning violence, not inciting it. How do you view her video? Was she indeed inciting violence?
Look, I'm not a psychic, but she definitely is not shocked. I mean, that was the explicit purpose of that video, and now they're playing coy about what it meant. Believe me, if you go on the NRA's Facebook page and read all the comments that are on it, people very well understand what the message was, and it was deliberate. I mean, again, this is part and parcel of the NRA's long-running campaign to basically foment a culture war. I mean, at the NRA convention I attended where Trump spoke, you know, Wayne LaPierre said that the biggest threats to America right now are the media elites, the academic elites, and frankly, the political elites in D.C. I mean, this is scary language. And we've seen
the head of the biggest gun proliferation organization is saying that media elites are the biggest threats.
Yeah, the biggest domestic threats that America faces, which is a frightening thing to say. And you know, we've seen over the past couple of days some experts in extremism who are not particularly partisan, and they often study these matters overseas, but they're looking at this video and saying, you know, this is pretty familiar to me. This is how you sort of foment unrest. And it's a scary moment when it's not only that it's being done in a visible manner, but being done by an organization who, at the end of the day, their job on behalf of the gun industry is to boost gun sales.
So who are they boosting gun sales to? Because you say in your article, gun sales are plummeting. That's the title of your article. How are they, you know, in the end, it's one thing to feed the culture war, but ultimately, if it's how many products they push and profits they make, that's the sort of hard standard by which they'll judge their success.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the story of gun control is really best understood as a story of kind of capitalism run amok. What's really interesting, and there's a book I cite in this piece, but I recommend people read it if they're interested. It's called The Gunning of America. And it's about how the gun companies really got their start. And there's this myth that, you know, guns are a natural part of the American psyche. And back from the Revolutionary War on, you know, everyone, a true American, has always had a trusty rifle. And that's not really true. I mean, the United States was undergunned in both the Revolutionary and Civil War. They had to put serious government effort into manufacturing guns because not many people had them. A lot of the early gun companies failed because there weren't enough customers, or they had to rely on big government subsidies or sales to international markets. So throughout history, we've seen these gun capitalists create sort of ingenious marketing schemes to market these weapons to the American public. It used to be a lot easier when hunting was much more widespread, when there was less suburban sprawl. You know, gun sales were pretty good. They have been in a historical decline, and that goes way before Obama. People hunt less. People, I think, are actually realizing that it makes you less safe to have a gun in the house, not more. And so what the gun industry, through its front group, the NRA, has done is turn to fear as a way to gin up gun sales. That was spectacularly effective under Obama because they ginned up this idea that Obama's going to come take your guns, which, of course, he never did and didn't plan to.
And gun sales did go up. They spiked when Obama was elected.
They sure did, because everyone thought, okay, well, Obama's coming for my guns. And after Newtown, when Obama really did embrace gun control full on, and when it looked like Congress might do something, now again, they were just going to expand background checks. Nobody's gun was going to get taken. But that really fueled sales. And so the day that Donald Trump was elected, all of a sudden gun sales fell, you know, through the floor. I mean, that the stocks and all the major companies plummeted. Stores were left with massive inventory that they had built up planning to sell as now Hillary Clinton's coming for your guns. I mean, she just ran this campaign on gun control. And so, you know, it's a difficult moment for the gun industry. And I think we now see how they're going to approach the marketing and selling of guns going forward in that video.
And of course, as you and I talk, gun violence in the United States continues. I mean, I'm looking at an article right now, Pennsylvania, African-American high school graduate killed in a road rage incident by an as yet on the loose white male driving a red pickup truck. Apparently she cut him off on the freeway. And this young girl is now dead because somebody literally driving on the freeway in a truck pulled out his gun while driving and shot a child in the head. I mean, the statistics don't seem to matter. The numbers of deaths we are willing to tolerate don't seem to matter, because in the end, the likes of Dana Loesch can portray the gun owners as the victims, as she did. You know, they're coming for us. Law-abiding citizens are the ones who are the gun owners. And it was interesting that she claimed that their award shows were the terms she used. Their ex-president, meaning the rest of us, I guess. How do you see the sort of portrayal of Hollywood elites also feeding into this? Hollywood elites, liberal elites, that we are all supposed to be on this one side, the Obama and Clinton lovers and the ones who have our Oscars and our other awards, and on the other side are these mostly white gun owners. I mean, how long will that narrative work?
You know, I think it's only going to accelerate, unfortunately, over the next several years, because the calls for gun control are only going to get stronger. I mean, this is a game that the NRA was playing for quite a while, and they didn't really have as much trouble with it because Democrats just were not even touching gun control. I think the next Democratic presidential candidate, no matter who that may be, is going to take this issue on. Democratic politicians are going to keep pushing. You know, I think the culture has changed, where in Hollywood, it's certainly not that you don't see it, but they're being a little more careful about glamorizing guns and trying to show some of the downside. So as that, you know, very appropriately ramps up, I mean, people have realized that the toll of gun violence is not acceptable.
And by the way, in that video,
it's going to feed into this NRA narrative that they're coming for your guns, and it's all the people you hate. You know, it's the folks in Hollywood and the
In that video, Dana Loesch didn't ever say the word guns once. This is what's really interesting. The word guns was never said, and it was never mentioned. You see some visuals of it, but that's about it.
Well, yeah, it's very slick, and they know exactly what they're doing. She's an interesting character, because if you look at the gun control movement that has sprung up post Newtown, a lot of the forward facing activists are females, and they have made a strategic decision to couch this as sort of concerned mothers. You know, I don't want my son or daughter being gunned down in a theater or at a shopping mall. You know, it's Mothers Against Gun Violence. It's the mothers of the movement who are pushing this, and it's been very effective. And it actually has moved some Republican-leaning suburban housewives who otherwise may have voted Republican. I mean, they are actually, the data shows, they are being moved on gun control. So what the NRA has done in selecting Dana Loesch, who's the first female face that I've ever seen coming from the NRA, is trying to counter that and saying, you know, yes, first of all, here's a woman, and she's saying, yes, the world is a dangerous place, but the answer is not to get rid of your guns, it's to buy more of them.
And they're marketing guns to children too, right?
They are marketing guns to children, and it's sort of, you know, there's a lot of analogies to the tobacco companies, who realized that they were running out of customers and so had to start aggressively marketing to the next generation. And that is exactly what we see from a lot of gun manufacturers, who are putting out these guns that are, you know, multicolored and, and kind of fun looking. And the NRA is offering, you know, training and sports shooting classes for increasingly younger kids. I mean, yes, if a kid is going to have a gun, they should know how to shoot it. But we should understand these efforts to train kids how to use guns as ultimately harmful and something designed to make them customers for the rest of their lives.
George, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your article from our website later. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
My guest is George Zornick. He is the Nation magazine's Washington editor. His latest article is called Gun Sales Are Plummeting and Trump Wants to Help. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.